I know, but...
Oh, you want me to record? Okay, hold on. Get to
All up at Gimel, you talk Sadi. Kaberi not Chasad Veinu Taharenu No Ra Kufrei Shaniam Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Shabbat Yud Kavshin Barchem Tacharem Rakamei Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Tav Gimel. The letter Kaf created the planet the Sun with its two names, its two internal and external names. The name of Chatan, meaning Chat, the external name, and the name of Shemesh, the internal name, the servant. When the Leo people are doing their work properly, they become servants, and people listen to them. When they're not doing their work spiritually, they burn people up. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Chet Kuvbet Chet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zohreishatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talmot Shin Kufa Sadi Yud. And the last verse, the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. So as we know, we're continuing to read the secrets of the third temple. We're on the page, the building, and we're at the short section called Pillar Facing Pillar. When the walls were built, three pillars appeared within their structure. They were visible on both sides, since they were embedded in the thickness of the wall. They stand pillar facing pillar, corresponding to the three columns of the Sefirot, kindness, judgment, and mercy, in order to strengthen the mighty building and keep it stable. It's not clear what pillar facing pillar means, unless each wall has three pillars. It's really not clear from this, but maybe I haven't read the Ezekiel citation, so we'll let it go. The doors of the sanctuary. At the gate of the sanctuary, there are squared doorposts with two doors to the right and two to the left. The secret of these doors is rooted in the name Aleph Daleth Nun Yud, two of whose four letters, the Aleph and the Yud, stand to the right, and two, the Daleth and the Nun, stand to the left. When these doors are closed, no one leaves or enters. Only when they are opened is it possible to enter or leave. This is the holy way by which all visitors to the house enter and leave. There is another secret here for the wise. At this gate stand 22 lights to the right and 22 to the left. These are the 22 letters of the Torah joined together in separate groups to the right and the left. They appear in the form of two facing doors. On each side stand two groups of six letters joined together by a third group of 10 behind them. These three groups of letters on each side take the form of a hinge and a door, one on the right and one on the left. The door, the delet, is made up of two vavs, attached from behind by a hinge. The yud, the yud is the hinge. When the two doors are closed and joined together, they form a closed mem, made up of two attached dalets, and the gate remains closed until such time as it opens again. Although I said that there are 22 lights to the right and 22 to the left, the truth is that on each side there are 22 interior lights and 22 exterior lights. For this is the place of the upper Shekhinah and the lower Shekhinah, both of which possess these lights. For this reason, the lights are doubled, and there are four doors. I really don't have any comment about this. The height of the gates. Understand that with the exception of the inner gate, all the gates are very tall, for they are designed to meet the needs of those receiving from them. The gates are 50 cubits high, the entire array of souls and angels, being divided into five. However, the first gate of the Holy of Holies is smaller than the others. As you surely understand, the light that reaches the lower worlds has only a tiny fraction of the intensity of the light that shines in his supreme dwelling. This small share is proportionate to the scale of the lower worlds and is quite sufficient for them. The height of the first, second, and third temples. The height of the third temple is 100 cubits, although this is not stated explicitly by Ezekiel, who simply said, "I saw the height of the house." The height is uniform along the entire length and breadth of the temple, and he did not need to specify it. Let me explain a great secret, for this is not the same as the height of the first temple, either in the upper world or on earth. The first temple was 120 cubits high. This was because it had an upper floor that brought it to this height. However, the temple seen by Ezekiel was only 100 cubits high and did not have an upper floor. Understand that each divine attribute measures 100, since each individual sephirah contains all 10 sephirot, and each component sephirah itself consists of all 10. 1 times 10 times 10 is 100. Since the first temple was built through Chokmah, its height was 100 cubits by virtue of Chokmah, with an additional 20 cubits shining upon it from Keter in order to bring Chokmah to perfection. This is why the first temple was built with an upper floor, indicating how the Keter, signified by the letter Kaf, hovers above Chokmah and radiates within it. This is why there are only 20 cubits from Keter and 100 from Chokmah. However, the third temple has no upper floor for Keter. It's the head, and is raised above all else. The height of the third temple is 100 cubits, these being the 100 of Keter. These 100 cubits are thus far greater than the entire 120 cubits of the height of the first temple. Accordingly, it is written, "Great will be the glory of this last house." The second temple was also built to a height of 100 cubits, as in the heavenly temple seen by Ezekiel. In his prophetic vision, had those who built it not known this, they would not have made any changes on their own initiative without having a firm basis, but would have retained the measurements of the first temple. People ask, what are we going to do with the Dome of the Rock? How do we remove the Dome of the Rock so that we can have the third temple built? And the Dome of the Rock is going to be the foot of the temple. It's not going to be the top. So it's really not going to matter. And people just don't understand that. And I just realized it reading this section. The temple roof.
No,
yes. Go ahead.
When you say the foot of the temple, does that mean the building will be around of it and it will be the base, or it will be outside of it?
No, the building will be the base. The temple mount, or what's Temple Mount now, will be the base of the building. And the 100 cubits...
So the rock will be at the out...
What we just read implied that what is the Dome of the Rock now, what is the top of the western wall in the Dome of the Rock, that will be the base of the third temple. And from that will rise 100 cubits representing Chokmah, and another 100 cubits representing Keter. And the cubits of Keter are larger than the cubits of Chokmah. And that's all, I mean, so the whole idea of we have to worry about what to do with the Dome of the Rock, it's just going to be a small part of the whole. It's right at the floor. Dome of the Rock is maybe 40, 50 feet tall. 100 cubits is 300 feet. 250 feet, so it's just totally not even an issue. The temple will just override it. But people don't understand that. Because they visualize the temple being where the temple was. And that's not what's going to happen. Of course, I could be wrong.
Ezra?
Yeah?
Ezra writes on his site that there's a sacred cubit. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Okay.
I am, you know, but nobody knows what the dimension is.
He says what the dimension is. He tells you there on his site.
Well, then we're talking two different things. Ezra, the name Ezra is referring to the book of Ezra in the Bible.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll refer to his name, Jeff Milcom.
But what is he to specify the sacred cubit as?
I can't tell you because I haven't went back and brought up my files on the sacred cubit that he writes about with Rabbi Shimon that has daily Zohar.
Ezra is writing Ezra, along with the daily Zohar? I haven't seen it.
No, Jeff works with Rabbi Shimon on daily Zohar. They converse back and forth. But he writes about that, the sacred cubit, that has to do with the new temple. He's a mathematician that has insight into the Torah.
I'm familiar with all of the sites that are promoted by the Daily Zohar. I've never heard of his.
I can't even remember now. Skip my mind.
Send me an email with it.
Send yeah, I'll do that.
The site.
We'll do that.
Okay. The temple roof, from the wall of the sanctuary to the wall of the vestibule, great lights appeared in the form of beams holding and strengthening the walls and keeping them in position. Each beam is a vav, emanating from the supreme vav of the holy name, blessed be he. There is a fundamental principle that you should understand. Every house derives from Malchut, while every roof derives from Tiferet. It is from the beams, therefore, that the flow of blessing is drawn down to the house, just as Tiferet shines the light down to Malchut. In front of the vestibule are steps, which I will explain later, with the help of God, when I come to discuss the temple service. The dimensions of the house. The prophet mentions three figures when speaking of the dimensions of the temple. 190 and 70. Each of these figures is connected with the lights, the Sephirot. However, the Sephirot amount to 100. There are 10 Sephirot each, of which contains all 10 Sephirot, which is 100. However, one of these lights, Keter, is concealed, leaving 90. But the lower lights, through which the world is actually conducted, are 70, the seven lower Sephirot. This is the secret of the verse, man walks about as a shadow. From one point of view, there are 90 lights corresponding to the Tzadi. From another, there are 70 corresponding to the Lamed and Mem. While from the point of view of the supreme Keter, there are 100. Moving on to the next section. The temple courtyards. You want to read, Chris?
Yeah, I will. Let me discuss the temple courtyards in all their various details, and you will hear the most glorious wisdom. I will skip over certain other subjects that I should have discussed now and leave them until the end, because I'm following the path of the flow of blessing, as I have already stated. It is the highways and pathways extended from the foundation stone outwards. Two great areas appear, one in front of the temple building and the other surrounding both the temple and this first area. Let me explain all this in detail. These two areas were in the form of two great courtyards, standing in front of and around the temple. The first is called the inner courtyard, the second the outer courtyard. These are the places of all the king's armies and attendants who stand at his service. They have leaders who are in charge of the entire army. These leaders have their own special areas. These leaders are the Seraphim, whose power is enormous. They stand by the throne. All the other troops are encamped under the various flags. Over them stand the officers, lower than the Seraphim, who give them their orders and supervise all their activities so that everything runs properly without a hitch. The officers receive from the inner courtyard, while the lower angels and other troops receive from the outer courtyard. These courtyards are surrounded by lofty walls, which keep all the lights within their limits. The thickness of the walls is the same as the length of the measuring rod, 6 cubits. And they have gates enabling the flow of light and blessing to go forth, as I will explain in more detail later on. Three gates of the inner courtyard. The inner courtyard has three gates. One to the south, one to the north, and one to the east. Each gate is 10 cubits wide, since 10 groups of angels must receive from each one. The height of the gates is 50 cubits. I have already explained that the secret above. However, since the lights had already traveled some distance from the place of amazing connection, the center column no longer had the same great power as when it first emerged from the sanctuary, for its strength was already weakened. For this reason, the east gate of the inner courtyard corresponding to the center column was no different from the gates on the two sides. Now all three were alike, and each had a gateway to itself. The vestibules of the inner courtyard. As each of the gates opened up, a vestibule appeared before it, as I have already explained. But what occurred only in the case of the center column, when the light went out of the sanctuary gate, now occurred in the case of the two side columns, as the light went out of the gates of the Israelite court. However, the dimensions of the vestibules of the gates are different from those of the sanctuary vestibule. The lights going from the gates of the Israelite court are not the same as the lights that go forth from the sanctuary. In the case of the gates of the Israelite court, the name Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the two names joined to them, were the two columns whose identity and measurements you already know. Three chambers on each side of the gates. As these gates open up in the walls to allow the flow of blessing to pass outward, the most beautiful chambers appear on both sides of each gate. Three to the right and three to the left. The three chambers on each side of the gate open into another, while the entrance to the chambers immediately adjoining the gate on either side face one another. Let me now tell you some great secrets concerning these entrances. You must understand, in order for the flow of blessing that goes out into the worlds to be perfectly balanced and suited to the needs of their inhabitants, it must always have the proper blend of judgment and mercy, right and left. In the chariot allude respectively to mercy and judgment. Nothing is able to attain properly rectified state except through male and female. For this reason, the lights are male and female, and together they adjust and balance the flow of blessings so as to bring all things to a state of perfection. This explains why these chambers are found here. Their secret is bound up with their root, a triad of Hesed and Gevurah, Tiferet, to the right, and a similar triad to the left. The inside measurement of each chamber is 6 cubits, or here the Va, the male element, predominates. The thickness of the walls of the chambers is 5 cubits, for there the He, the female element, predominates. Thus, each of these chambers is a union of male and female. The blessing and substance suitable for all the Sepharim is already gathered within the inner courtyard. When the flow of blessing passes through the gate, it immediately enters these chambers first. For the flow of blessing, leaving from the right, enters the left-hand chambers, while the flow leaving from the left enters the right-hand chambers. The flow of blessing is rectified in the three chambers on each side and adjusted in a balance of kindness, judgment, and mercy, depending on whether kindness or strict judgment holds sway. It is the Ba and He, male and female, that make the adjustment. Afterwards, the flow goes forth with perfect balance, ready to be given to those who require it. Roofs of the chambers. Let me tell you what causes the flow of blessing emerging from the gates to make a detour into these chambers instead of going straight out. When the gate opened, three lights that made 13, as mentioned earlier, passed through. As they went out, they joined together with the 12 other lights standing at the gate itself. These are the 12 letters, Aleph, Lamed, He, Dalet, Lamed, Tav, Nun, Va, Nun, Yod, Va, Dalet. Together they make a total of 25. These 25 lights spread out on the both sides from the roof of the extreme right-hand chamber to the roof of the extreme left-hand chamber. These lights did not go very far out. They simply spread out across the width of the chambers on both sides above their roofs, but not below. Thus, the flowing of blessing leaves the gate. These lights shine down into it from above. The power of this light causes the flow of blessing to broaden and flow to the sides like the lights above instead of simply spreading outwards. It is then that the right side of the flow enters the chambers on the left, while the left side of the flow enters the chambers on the right, until everything is brought into perfect balance. After being rectified in these chambers, the flow of blessing goes forth from the openings of the two chambers immediately adjacent to the gate on either side, and the two streams join together in the middle to make one. Then another light shines on it and brings it outside to be given to its intended recipients. The prophet alludes to this when he says, "And he measured the gate from the roof of the chambers to the roof." You should understand that all the various measurements and dimensions are only mentioned because they allude to some aspect of wisdom and are known to be necessary for the proper government of the world.
Chris, I'm feeling a little weak.
Next section.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling a little lightheaded.
Okay.
So
what do you want to do?
Let's call it for the day. We'll just go to the next section, and the next section is the temple service, and I don't want to start that right now. Let's put that off till tomorrow. That's all right with you?
Okay, you going? Is there one tonight?
There's a...
It's all right with me.
Yeah. We're going to have a class at 11 tonight.
You doing one tonight?
We'll have a class at 10 your time. Hopefully I'll take the nap and have my strength back. All right?
Okay, buddy.
See you soon.
Yep. Yeah.